Shiva Prabhupada, Shri Bhakti Vedanta Ki, Shima Bhagavatam Ki, Shri Nityananda Triadashi Ki, Shri Nityananda Nama Ki, Lord Shri Nityananda Ki, Shiva Premanandi. So tonight we'll continue with chapter 71, and we will go from verses 23 to 45. We'll finish the chapter. What is the chapter called? The Lord Travels to Indraprastha. Very nice chapter. So tonight we'll hear about Krishna arriving in Indraprastha. So next week there's no class, Monday, Tuesday, I won't be here. Okay, just so you know, Monday, Tuesday, next week, then following week, resume. Just so you know. Okay. Text number 23. King Yudhishthira was delighted to hear that the Lord, whom human beings rarely see, had now arrived. Accompanied by his priests and dear associates, the king came out to meet Lord Krishna. As songs and musical instruments resounded, along with the loud vibration of Vedic hymns, the king went forth with great reverence to meet Lord Hrishikesh, just as the senses go forth to meet the consciousness of life.
Lord Krishna is here described as Rishikesh, the Lord of the senses, and the King Yudhishthira rushing to the Lord is compared to the senses eagerly joining the consciousness of the life. Without consciousness, the senses are useless. Indeed, the senses function through consciousness. Similarly, when the individual shows the benefit of Krishna consciousness, love of God, they enter into a useless and usually struggle called material existence. Pure devotees like King Yudhishthira are never bereft of the Lord's association, for they keep him always within their heart, and yet they feel special ecstasy when they see the Lord after long separation, as described here.
Any points? So, the senses can be used in two ways. They can be used in Krishna's service or in the service of oneself. So that defines one as being Godasa or Goswami. This is the basic principle of bhakti. This is given by Srila Rupa Goswami in the beginning of the Upadeshamrita. You can be a Godasa, or you can be a Goswami. Depends how you use your senses. And Go can refer to the senses. So, if you are using your senses simply for sense gratification, then, as Prabhupada said, you are a flapping dead body. There is no life. There is no enthusiasm. And you see the non-devotees, they're enthusiastic to use the senses, but it's only for sense gratification. So actually the senses are meant to be used for the service of
Krishna,
which means Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. That's the definition of bhakti. You consider the bhakta a devotee when you use your senses in the service of Krishna. So you see Yudhishthira Maharaj and the others, they feel like their life has come back to their body. This is the one of the symptoms of prema. Prema means love for Krishna. You can only have love when you become full of enthusiasm. You feel your life has come back. We all have some understanding of that to some degree. Just like when you've been separated from the devotees for a long time, or you've been separated from the deities for a long time. And then when you come back into the association, you feel like your life has come back. So we get some understanding. Compared to the non-devotees, who are only using the senses for themselves. Just like on the weekend at the farm, we had one festival. So some non-devotees, they hired the place, 150k in the state. As far as the most accurate, easiest way to describe, they're like hippies. You know, but then we said to them, you know, they're all vegan, vegetarian, so no meat. They don't take alcohol, they don't take drugs, and they just dance. They paid us good money, $5,000. So. And then we sold prasadam to them on weekends, so we made like $8,000 in total. So, you know, it's good. You know, a little bit of a compromise on our, you know, it's not the sort of thing we would do. But if you look at the way Prabhupada started the movement, it was somewhat like that. You know, he brought all the hippies in and gave it. And there were, I met a number of them, spoke to many of them. And some of them amongst them were close to taking interest in Krishna consciousness, or were taking interest in Krishna consciousness. So. And then some of the devotees, Yamuna Sundari and a few of the others, they came and did kirtan for them on the weekend. And they joined in the kirtan, they danced and chanted. We gave them prasadam all weekend. So they're conscious of Krishna like that. So. But when I was listening to them, they were doing workshops and seminars during the weekend, and when I was watching them, it's all about themselves. That's all they talk about. Oh, we have to improve ourselves, you know, better self-confidence and better self. It. Devotees, we don't talk like that. No. Just like I told you, I think last week, you know, up there I was with my Guru Maharaj, he said, who cares what you think? So, you know, we say this to all the hippies, who cares what you think? They spend their whole time lecturing. Ah, myself, I need this, I need that. Who cares what you think? You know, they think, what sort of people are these? You know, it's all about us, how you feel. No, it's not about us. It's about how Krishna feels. So this is bhakti. You see, Yudhishthira, his life comes back when Krishna appears. It's not about him. Oh, I'm more happy because I'm ruling the kingdom. I am the king of Indraprastha. He's about to perform the Rajasuya sacrifice, which technically makes him the most powerful king on earth when he performs the Rajasuya sacrifice. And it's interesting, when he performs it, it will come up. Even Karna, you know, who's such a power, more powerful than Yudhishthira in terms of his being a warrior, even Karna assists Yudhishthira. Even Duryodhana, who is his, like his arch enemy, in one sense. Yudhishthira is known as Ajata Shatru. That means one who doesn't have an enemy. Even Duryodhana, who doesn't like a lot of people, who does he dislike the most? Bhima saying he really dislikes Bhima. He really doesn't like Arjuna. He doesn't like everyone, but Yudhishthira he can't find fault with. Imagine how qualified Yudhishthira must be. How often do you meet someone like that? Even the people who don't like other people, they still like the person. Duryodhana assisted him. Karna assisted him. He was so qualified. And he performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. This is coming up. Such a qualified personality. But it wasn't all about him. These days, everything's about, you know, and this is what people tell us, this is the philosophy of the modern world. You have to be happy. What you get, all these things. When you are happy, then your life will be satisfied. You'll be satisfied. You'll find satisfaction. It's not true. Right? There's only one person that needs to be happy. Right? And that is? Krishna. No, if Krishna's happy, then Bhagavatam says everyone else in the universe will be happy. How do you please Krishna? By pleasing Guru and the devotees. of that, then Krishna becomes happy. That's what today is about, right? Lord Nityananda teaches us. If we serve, then we'll become happy. That's the mood. Lord Nityananda is the Adi Guru, the original Guru. So if we serve, then we'll become happy and satisfied. So this is the basic point. That's why in this verse, we have the name Hrishikesha. Hrishikesha means master of the senses. You only become happy when you please Krishna's senses. If Krishna is satisfied, you'll be unlimitedly satisfied. If Krishna is not satisfied, you'll never be happy. People don't understand this point. They think, oh, if I'm happy, I'll be happy. But even people who are striving for that, they're never happy. Even when you feel happy in the material world, it will be taken away. It always gets taken away, guaranteed. How long can you be happy for in this world? You know, maybe a few weeks or 6 months or something, but it doesn't last. Material world key. You all look happy. You all look very happy. Because you're chanting and you're serving Krishna. Otherwise, I know your lives. Your lives are disasters. So. Any points? Okay. Everyone's very blissful tonight. Internally absorbed in the mercy of Lord Nityananda. How was the feast today? Very good. We had a nice program at the farm. There's only five of us. I was programming the RT Kirtan and I spoke something about Lord Nityananda and we had a nice feast. Well, a small feast, not like it. Very nice actually, but yeah, very special. The heart of King Yudhishthira melted with affection when he saw his dearmost friend Lord Krishna after such a long separation, and he embraced the Lord again and again. The eternal form of Lord Krishna is the everlasting residence of the goddess of fortune. As soon as King Yudhishthira embraced him, the king became free of all the contamination of material existence. He immediately felt transcendental bliss and merged in an ocean of happiness. There were tears in his eyes and his body shook due to ecstasy. He completely forgot that he was living in this material world. Janesh, you like to read the purport?
The book translation is taken from the Prabhupada's Krishna.
Thank you. Any points there? Any other points? So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he breaks down the Sanskrit. Because sometimes there's not so many purports in this section, so he breaks the Sanskrit down. So what is the name which is given to Krishna in this particular verse?
Mukunda.
Mukunda. What does Mukunda mean?
Liberation.
One who liberates you. Gives you mukti, or liberation. So how did he feel when he embraced Krishna? Yeah, felt like everything was liberated. Kleshagni means bhakti. When you begin bhakti, then you feel liberated. Do you feel like that in devotional service? Free from material distress? Do you feel like that? Hands up, do you feel like that? Two devotees, that's good. Okay, I'll come to your house. Because everyone else is in big trouble. No, but we feel like that. Even when life is difficult, you feel liberated. Devotees, we don't feel like we're... I mean, you know, the material energy is always grabbing us and pulling on us. You know, she has the covering potency, she has the pulling down potency. But we feel liberated. We don't feel like non-devotees. You should not feel overcome by the material energy. Sometimes you feel like that, overcome. But if you go deep within yourself and take shelter of Krishna, you always feel like you're liberated from the material energy. even when I was in Adelaide. I was there for 2.5 years. I was the temple president. When they sent me there, the deities, many of the deities in ISKCON have some, what we say, material blemish. Means maybe, you know, one of the fingers broke off the deities or something and then had to be fixed, or, you know, there's many deities. Devotees don't realize, but there's many of the, even the famous deities in ISKCON have some like that. But then the deity, you know, is repaired and then we continue to worship. But in the Shastra it says if the deity has some blemish, you cannot worship. But Srila Prabhupada installed a number of deities who had blemishes, right? And then, you know, the limb was fixed or whatever, and then they were worshipped. So in Adelaide, when I took over, there were devotees there, and the deity had some blemish, but the blemish was fixed. But then a senior devotee told them that Krishna had left the deity. So then, just before I got there, they all left the temple. So when I arrived there, there was practically hardly any devotees there. The temple was very small, like very less devotees. So there's a lot of pressure. And at the same time, then I entered my first marriage exactly the same time. So a lot of pressure, you know, because when you're beginning something, then, you know, sometimes there's some things to work out. So a lot of pressure. But I used to walk into the bank and deposit the money to our bank account. And the lady, and I was feeling like the worst I felt in my life. Like so much pressure, so much stress. And the bank teller, she used to always say, "You look so peaceful." And I used to just go like, you know. But honestly, I was in more stress than I've probably ever been in my life. So much stress. Really, really very difficult. But devotees, even when we're in our most difficult situation, still there's an inner peace. Because we're connected to Krishna. And when you're connected to Krishna, then you don't feel like the non-devotees. You know, it's tough, but you feel like liberated or like that. So Yudhishthira, as soon as he embraced Krishna, he just felt complete liberation from the material world. So we have to keep close to Krishna all the time. How do we keep close to Krishna? There are 5 main ways to keep close to Krishna. What are the 5 main ways? Chanting. Hearing the Bhagavatam. And being in the holy place. And being with the devotee. And then worshipping the deity. So when you're taking shelter of these 5 powerful angas of bhakti, you don't feel the onslaught of the material energy as much. You feel protected. So that's the system. So we have to feel close to Krishna all the time. Situate your life in such a way. Prabhupada says, mold your life in such a way that you cannot forget Krishna. Where does he say that? Which purport? 1866. What is 1866? Yeah, it's practically the entire Bhagavad Gita in one line. Mam ekam sharanam praja. That's the whole Bhagavad Gita, that one line. Right. So then, Prabhupada says in the purport, mold your life in such a way that you cannot forget Krishna. So that's difficult in this day and age, because everything about your life makes you forget Krishna. Except when you come to the temple and do your sadhana. So you have to make those adjustments as much as you can. Or come and live at the farm with me. And then you can, it's a big adjustment actually. Not so easy. Just like on the weekend, devotees came to help. You know, we had to cook for 150 people, so devotees came to help. And one devotee, one Indian boy in the congregation, I hadn't really met him before. He says, "Prabhu, I just want to stay here and just serve and just do full time." Like that. Easy to say that, but not so easy to do it. I said, "Yeah, you can come and do it, but still you need some money." You know, it's like it's not so easy to do this thing. But make your life as much as you can so you cannot forget Krishna. Then, in the Sanskrit, it says, Amala. What does the word Amala mean?
Faultless.
Yeah. And Rama. What does Rama? Rama, malare. Rama, ma, lai, laliyam.
Lakshmi Devi is the
saying,
goddess of fortune.
Yeah, Rama. Rama is goddess of fortune. Yeah, or it can also mean beauty. Rama, beauty. Amala means faultless beauty. Krishna's beauty is faultless. Where is his real beauty? Real beauty is internal. When someone is has very good qualities, they become very attractive. And then if they're also externally beautiful, they become even more attractive. Just like sometimes you meet people, they're quite strikingly beautiful. Sometimes you see a woman, it's like, wow, so beautiful. Or you see a man, you think, wow, he's like so handsome. But then they start speaking and acting, and you think, oh my God, you know, like, who is this person? So all the beauty disappears. Krishna is both. Now, internally, he is the most exquisitely beautiful person. And then externally also, so then he just becomes overwhelming. Overwhelming. You'll see in the next few verses. Yudhishthira becomes completely overwhelmed in ecstasy. So then, it says, Yudhishthira became submerged into the bliss of prema. He became completely immersed in prema, which is actually the goal of our life. Prema, pumarta, mahan. Our goal is to become fully immersed in prema. Prema means love for Krishna. You have to understand what the goal is. What is the goal?
Krishna prema.
You know, we say every morning, 10 offenses, and then after the 10 offenses we say, to attain, and all the devotees go, Krishna prema. Not really thinking about what it is, but we all say, everyone go, Krishna prema. What does it actually mean? That's the goal. And I was discussing this like today when we were speaking about Lord Nityananda, and we're emphasizing about Lord Nityananda is considered to be the, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he is in charge of the marketplace of the holy name. When you go to the marketplace, according to how much currency you have, then you can purchase a certain amount of goods. Now, because Lord Nityananda is in control of the marketplace of the holy name, when you go there, you will purchase the holy name according to your Shraddha. No? Because bhakti is all about Shraddha. Like, there's 9 levels, from Shraddha to Prema. But how do we say it? One devotee is like Shraddha, and then we have Anatta Nivritti, and we have Bhajana Kriya, we have Sattva-sangha. And then when we get to Nishtha, and then Ruchi, and then Asakti, and then Bhava Prema, how do we define who is on what level? Right? It's an increase of Shraddha. More faith means, right? And what does Prema mean? Prema means complete faith, like Prabhupada had. Like complete faith in Krishna. We don't have that. You know, we have great faith in Krishna, but we don't have complete faith in Krishna. You know, sometimes, you know, I try to surrender to Krishna as much as I can, but sometimes in the back of my mind I think, oh, what if it goes wrong, or what if this? You know, it's not like complete faith in Krishna. That's what prema means, it's complete. But when we're chanting, according to how you are chanting, in other words, how much faith you have in the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses the phrase nam ashraya. How much faith you have in your chanting, how much you take shelter of the holy name, that much Krishna is purchased. Right? That much he is revealed in your consciousness. So this is the methodology. So while we're chanting, we're discussing this today, you should be, in your heart, searching out the goal. What is the goal? To develop Krishna prema, love for Krishna. Right? So what does that mean? Right? So you have to meditate. What does that mean? That feeling of love for Krishna. Love for Krishna means complete absorption in Krishna. It means complete surrender to Krishna. It means complete selfish, unalloyed, unmotivated devotion to Krishna. Uninterrupted. That's prema. That's the definition. So we have to search that out while we're chanting. Focus on the goal of chanting. Right? It takes time to get to the goal, but focus on the goal. Make sure you're always heading towards the goal. Are you heading there or not? Did you chant your rounds today? Nityananda's appearance? These days are important days to chant because you get special realizations. Did you get reciprocation? Special reciprocation today? I did. I got special reciprocation. Chanting, and then Lord Nityananda was given special reciprocation. You have to reach out for it. Try to get it. But then when he gave me special reciprocation, then I realized how much more I have to go now. He showed me things. Yeah, look at this. And then he said, but it's a long way from you. This is what it means. It takes a long time to get there. So this is what we're searching for. What is the goal? What is the goal? What is the goal in our devotional service? The Lord will reciprocate, but you have to show, you have to purchase, you have to show some eagerness to attain him. Then he will reciprocate. Tatra Lolyam. Rupa Goswami says you have to have loba. Loba means?
Greed.
Greed, yeah. Hands up if you are greedy. None of us are greedy. That's why we're lacking. I was getting some nice reciprocation today, my chanting from Lord Nityananda, but not enough greed to take what he is offering. Not enough to. Still attached to the material world, to nice watches. Still attached. There's my watch. I wish it was. Don't laugh, I'm attached. You know who gave me that watch? Radha Vallabha Prabhu. He's building that temple in Mayapur. He gave me that watch. That's why I'm attached to the watch. He gave it to me. Seriously, I'm attached to that watch because he gave it to me. So I remember him. Great devotee. Building Adbhut Mandir. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said anyone who builds that goes back to Krishna. And I wear the watch from the devotee who is building the Adbhut Mandir. Try and take it from me. Hare Krishna. You will never get that watch. 1,000 years. Unless I lose it. Shriman Watch Prabhu Ki Jai. Okay. Any points? So then, because Yudhishthira became so submerged in bliss, prema, and bliss, that he forgot all about worldly pleasure and he transcended birth and death. We have this experience to some small degree. We forget about worldly pleasure sometimes. A lot of the time we don't forget about it. We're absorbed in it. But when do you forget about it? And when you're getting some taste in Krishna consciousness, some nice receipt, and then you just, everything becomes insignificant, the whole world. Insignificant. And then when that takes place, then you cross birth and death. When you can hold on to that all the time. Now, sometimes we get that taste where we feel everything, sometimes I feel like that. Nothing is attractive to me in this material world. But it only lasts for 1 or 2 days. And then the attachment comes again to the material energy. But when you can remain like that, then you cross birth and death. Any points? Okay. Then Bhima, his eyes brimming with tears, laughed with joy as he embraced his maternal cousin, Krishna. Arjuna and the twins, Nakula and Sahadev, also joyfully embraced their dearmost friend, the infallible Lord, and they cried profusely. After Arjuna had embraced him once more, and Nakula and Sahadev had offered him their obeisances, Lord Krishna bowed down to the brahmanas and elders present, thus properly honoring the respectable members of the Kuru, Srinjaya, and Kaikaya clans. Jamuna Lila, you want to read them?
Srila Sridhara Swami mentions that since Arjuna was considered Lord Krishna's social equal, when Arjuna tried to bow down to him, Lord Krishna held Arjuna by his arms so that he could only embrace him. The twins, however, being junior cousins, bowed down and grasped Lord Krishna's feet.
Okay. Turn your phones off. Airplane mode, please. Any points?
So there is a cry of separation as well as cry of some yoga and looking in the world. They cry profusely there.
What's the point?
You are normally crying when you are separated. But here we are seeing that they are crying when they are meeting as well.
Yeah, because there's tears of pain and there's tears of pleasure.
Joy.
Yeah. One is warm and the other one is cold. Which one is which?
Warm is separation.
Warm is separation and joy is the tears are cold. There's two types of tears. Any other points?
Once again, Vedic etiquette is coming out. About the mystery is about the Vedic etiquette. Of how Lord Krishna also bows down to his elders and Brahmins and Arjuna and Krishna. Arjuna did not have to bow down. Lord Krishna considered him as his friend. So
are these things important to follow?
They are.
They are? Why are they important to follow? Why do we have to follow all these etiquettes?
Vamadham says that we get rid of Tapatraya.
Get rid of?
Tapatraya. The threefold miseries, we read that in an earlier canto. Gunadikar Munam Lipshet, Anukosham Munadam, Maitrim Samanan, Unmention, Natapaya Abhimunita. So, if we meet senior, more senior than us, serve equals friendship. With juniors, compassion. That way, you are not touched by the three material miseries.
Yeah, very good. So you have to follow these etiquettes. Even Krishna follows the etiquettes. Krishna created everything. He could have created the world in such a way, the spiritual and the material world, that he was just everyone's superior all the time and everyone just worshiped him. He doesn't actually do that. Right, it's very interesting that Krishna, in his lila, in his pastimes, he is junior to certain personalities. Right, and he enjoys that rasa of being a junior personality. And he always shows the correct etiquettes. And Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj, he said in one lecture I was listening to many years ago about Vaishnava etiquette and Vedic culture and Vedic etiquettes. And it always stuck with me when he said that. He said that if there's ever friction in any relationship we have, that means that one of us, either the other person or ourselves or both of us, are not following the correct etiquettes. So if you look in your life, if there's any friction in any relationship, it means someone is not following the etiquette properly. So you have to follow the etiquettes. Because in every relationship, someone is superior and someone is junior. Or the other person is junior and the other person is senior. Or sometimes you're equals, but you have to know what is what and who is who. And if you understand that, then there's no friction in the relationships. The friction only comes when we cross the boundaries. No? When we don't look after the juniors properly, or we don't respect the seniors properly, or we're not interacting properly with our friends. And it's a problem I see in myself and in others also, that in the modern culture, and it's becoming worse and worse actually, you look at our kids compared to us, and you look at us compared to our parents and then grandparents like that, how much respect for superiors is decreasing. Right? Do you see that in the kids? No one sees it. What's happened to us? Is everyone just, you ate too much, or you're really, really blissful, or you're on a deep level of consciousness? You can tell me, I don't mind what it is. Everyone's very non-reactive. I ask, everyone just like goes. So I think everyone's on a very deep state of consciousness, which I feel very happy to be in the association of all of you, that you're feeling like that. Or you're just, you ate too much at the feast and you're just really tired. Or you don't, your work-life balance is disproportionate, you're just feeling very exhausted from work. I don't know what it is, but if you give me a little bit more, it's helpful. Just makes it easier. Are you noticing the kids are... Okay, everyone's still doing it, so it's cool. Okay, that's good. Okay, so I'll speak about my own life, because I'm at least in touch with myself, because I can't work any of you out tonight. So at least I'm seeing that the generations are becoming less and less respectful of superiors. And I know myself, even in my generation, it's not there enough. And it's something I wish I had learnt more when I was younger, to be respectful for superiors, because I struggle with it as time goes by. Right? So it's something that is very important in Vedic culture, to offer respect to superior personalities. The main reason we came in the material world, because we didn't want to respect the superior personality. So we came here in the material world. We don't like authority. We don't like to follow authority. So we don't. It's not so easy for us to show the etiquette. But it's interesting because you see, Krishna bows to Yudhishthira and Bhima. Right? He embraces Arjuna, and Nakula and Sahadev touch his feet. Yeah, and there's not a big difference between everyone. Right? Arjuna and him are the same age. Bhima's only a couple of years older. It's not like he's, you know, hugely older. Yudhishthira is only, you know, probably 3 or 4 years older or something. And Nakula and Sahadeva are just a little bit younger. It's not like there's vast difference. But still, everyone follows very careful etiquette. Now, it's nice. It's a nice culture. So the more we can do that, just means everything flows nicely. Any points?
The same similar words will come in the first case also. And Krishna is leading this kind of so same situation. There also Krishna provisions to Yudhishthira and he encourages Arjuna. Then same he gives blessings to Nakula, so he says mentions the words.
Last 2 days what you are saying, Keshav, sometime back.
Listen.
That all of us are very silent. Last 2 days, there are two parents who have come and spoken, who have said that something happens to kids, especially boys, after 12 years of age. Two parents came to me. Today one parent had told me, yesterday one parent came.
Spoke to you.
So, they are shocked. Is this the same child that whom he raised all these years? Devotees.
Yeah, it's because of the modern culture. Just like my daughter walked in tonight after school. So when she gets home, like between 4 and 5, I give her 1 hour. I say, okay, you can do whatever you want. 1 hour. You know, because she got home from school, she's been, you know, on the bus and like, yeah, just relax. But 5 o'clock, you start practicing your flute and she plays saxophone, like, you know, get some discipline. So, you know, 5 o'clock, I was just getting ready to come to Melbourne. So, you know, I was putting stuff in the car, walked out. I was like, okay, time that. And she goes, yeah, I'll do it soon. What? I told you to do it now. And she goes, yeah, soon. No problem. This is like, there's no mood. He said, yeah, I'll do it soon. Yeah, the respect for the authority is breaking down as time goes by. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just, it's what's happening. And particularly at that age is when you start trying to exert your independence like that. Chanakya says between 5 and 15 you have to be right on them. Don't let them get the upper hand. Yeah. 5 and 15 you have to be really on them. Because a couple of weeks ago she really tried to break free. You know, she yelled at me and argued and everything. I said, right, that's it. Right, grab the phone, right? You're not having this for 24 hours, like really cut down on, you know, because I showed her, I'm the boss, you're not the boss. Like that. So you have to, you know, stay strong. And when they get older, then you can let them do like that. But you see the whole way the world's becoming, it becomes more and more difficult. So Krishna is showing that we have to show respect. If authority is there, you have to show respect. Not so easy, but have to. Even Prabhupada said, I have to correct you. He's talking to his disciples about it. So he said, I have to correct you. He said, I know you do not like it. Prabhupada said, I know you do not like it, but I have to. It is my duty. Even Prabhupada could see, you know, they were like that. Even some disciples, they would argue back with Prabhupada. You know, Prabhupada didn't appreciate that. Sutas, Magadas, Gandharvas, Vandis, Jestas, and Brahmanas all glorify the lotus-eyed Lord, some reciting prayers, some dancing and singing, as mridangas, conch shells, kettle drums, veenas, panavas, and gomukhas resounded. Thus, surrounded by his well-wishing relatives and praised on all sides, Lord Krishna, the crest jewel of the justly renowned, entered the decorated city. The roads of Indraprastha were sprinkled with water perfumed by the liquid from elephants' foreheads and colorful flags, golden gateways, and full water pots enhanced the city's splendor. Men and young girls were beautifully arrayed in fine new garments, adorned with flower garlands and ornaments, and anointed with aromatic sandalwood paste. Every home displayed glowing lamps and respectful offerings, and from the holes of the latticed windows drifted incense, further beautifying the city. Banners waved and the roofs were decorated with golden domes on broad silver bases. Thus, Lord Krishna saw the royal city of the king of the Kurus. Malakshi, you want to read the purport? You don't have a book? That's okay. Chaitanya, you want to read that?
Srila Prabhupada answers, in this connection, Lord Krishna does enter the city of the Pandavas, enjoy the beautiful atmosphere, and slowly proceed ahead.
Any points?
There's so much natural opulence in the village.
And what's the result of living in natural opulence?
You stay more in the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
And?
Stay
healthy.
Stay healthy. Yeah, good.
Get more in your tongue. Get more in your tongue. You offer. So they get more in your tongue. Not that nowadays the culture is so if we give it, we lose it. Yeah, they don't have it.
And as as it is said, the Prabhupada says, it creates a beautiful atmosphere. They're walking into their home, into their capital, into their city. Do you feel like that when you walk from here to the CBD? Depends which way you walk. If you go through the botanical gardens, it's like that. Right? Even Melbourne's a beautiful city, comparatively. Compared to other cities in the world, and it's a beautiful city compared to, but nothing like this. You know, everything is so, you know, the architecture is so beautiful. I drove down Collins Street with my guru, long time, 1996, I think it was.
we're driving down for the Harinam. And Collins Street, there's many old buildings. It's like British architecture. Or you see even like this building. There's Italian architecture. Right. The person who built this building 150 years ago, he brought out Italian artisans. Right. Some artisans from Italy. And they did all the base relief and the cornicing and everything to make it, you know, you look at the archway there, it's very beautiful. You like that? You know, if you buy an apartment now in South Bank or something, you don't get this kind of detail anymore. No, it's not there. All the, like the beauty in architecture is becoming lost. But when you see this, it automatically makes your mind happy. It brings pleasure to the mind and satisfaction. So if you go down Collins Street, you see all the old beautiful buildings. Then you get further down, then you know, look at the new ones like Rialto Towers and all the rest. There's no beauty or pleasure in there. So you can see Krishna. I mean, imagine living in Indraprastha or Dwarka or one of these cities. What to speak of Vrindavan? Just how beautiful everything is. Like the architecture is beautiful. Everything is evenly spaced. Just like if you go to Vrindavan now, you go to the MBT. So I think most of you have been to the MBT. You know, out the back, where the restaurant is and everything. So you go in there. You know, the way they designed it. You know, so there's parkland. And so it gives you like a semblance of what it was like previously. And then you walk out and you walk down towards Madhavan and everything. It's just all buildings right next to each other. Or like the way they're doing Mayapur up until now. Just like all buildings next to each other. There's no like pleasure in living there. So you see, this is why. And then Prabhupada himself, he used to go for walks in the Royal Botanical Gardens. If you walk, have you been there? Down here in Melbourne, the Botanical Gardens. Prabhupada said they're one of the most beautiful gardens in the world. They're very beautiful, those gardens. And the person who designed the gardens designed it in such a way that wherever you are in the gardens, wherever you look, you will only see nature. Now it's not true because there's buildings up behind the trees and everything. But back 100 years ago, it would have been very beautiful. You just see nature wherever you are. It's very nice to go there. Prabhupada walked on every single path in that gardens. And Prabhupada also used to do morning walks sometimes down here, Beaconsfield Parade. If you go straight down Kerford Road, turn left and walk towards St Kilda, Prabhupada walked there all the way along. You know, because, you know, next to the ocean. Just being near the ocean is very satisfying for the mind and the heart. One time Prabhupada was having kirtan in San Francisco, I think it was, and then he was on the beach. Back in the very early days of ISKCON, hippies, when Prabhupada's first disciples, and they had a fire, like a bonfire on the beach. And Prabhupada went, you know, they all went down, the devotees went down with guitars and cartels and, like, you know, had kirtan, and Prabhupada was there, you know, with everyone. Like, Prabhupada would, you know, he would associate with the hippies back in those days, and he would lift them up. And then at the end, when they finished the kirtan, Prabhupada said, Prima Dwani prayers. You know, all glory, and then Prabhupada said, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. Prabhupada said that, all glories to the Pacific Ocean. And at the end of the prayers. Because Krishna says in the Gita, the bodies of water, I am the ocean. Many analogies you can take from the ocean. So as much as possible, we need to create situations where our mind becomes refreshed by beautiful atmospheres. That's why Prabhupada, you know, he would stay up there. But then in the morning he would come down, they'd drive across to the gardens, he'd walk through the gardens for an hour, right, to refresh the mind and to... Any points? When the young women of the city heard that Lord Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure for human eyes, had arrived, they hurriedly went onto the royal road to see him. They abandoned their household duties and even left their husbands in bed. And in their eagerness, the knots of their hair and garments became loose. The royal road being quite crowded with elephants, horses, chariots and foot soldiers, the women climbed to the top of their houses. where they caught sight of Lord Krishna and his queens. The city ladies scattered flowers upon the Lord, embraced him in their minds, and expressed their heartfelt welcome with broadly smiling glances. So, Krishna himself, you read all through the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is a unique scripture, actually. It's very unique because it gives intimate accounts and details about the relationship between God and his own devotees. And it describes how Krishna always casts sidelong glances. He looks out of the corner of his eyes at his devotees. And they also do the same to him. And Vedic culture is very subtle, and spiritual life is very subtle. Just like Burajan Prabhu writes in his book, My Glorious Master, he went to visit Prabhupada, and he gave Prabhupada a watch as a gift. And then Prabhupada was wearing it, and he came up, Burajan Prabhu came up while Prabhupada was having his massage. And the devotee was massaging Prabhupada, and then saw the watch and said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you have a new watch." And then the servant said, "Who gave it to you?" And Prabhupada just looked at Burajan Prabhu and said, "Oh, someone." Spiritual life is very subtle. Krishna is like that, very subtle. You know, we do a little bit of service for the guru, we want everyone to notice, and you want the guru to profusely recognize you and give you praise. And I remember my Guru Maharaj said one time, he travels around the world and then his disciples cook for him. And he said it's like they virtually write their name on the sabji. Can't just cook and stay in the background. It's like, virtually got to say, "Oh, I cooked that sabji," and then, "Oh, do Guru Maharaj like it? Oh, my guru is enjoying it." He just wants to eat his lunch. Does it really matter? Your Guru Maharaj knows. My Guru Maharaj used to ask who cooked. We'd say, "Oh, it's so and so." And spiritual life is very subtle. Like that. I remember one time I was in Mayapur, and my Guru Maharaj was, GBC meetings were still on, and then he walked out of his room, and then, I can't remember how it happened, I think one Mataji, one devotee, maybe a god sister, she brought a garland. It was probably from the deities, I think. And then she gave it to me and said, "Give this to Guru Maharaj when he comes out the room." So he walked out of his room going up to the GBC meetings. He walked out and I put the garland on him. And then I just, offered my obeisances, and then he kept walking. And then I walked into his room to clean his room. And then he looked back. I think he was going to say thank you or something. But he, I kind of turned, so he didn't say anything. Then about half an hour later, I was cleaning his room, and then his servant came in and gave me the garland. So he'd gone to the room, he wore it for some time, did the GBC meeting, then he took it off, and then he called one devotee, "Come, take that, give that to that devotee." So spiritual life is subtle. Only him and I knew that. No one else knew that. And it was very sweet, because then later on, he was giving a lecture to many, many, many devotees. And when I came in, I was sitting at the back, as I'd been cleaning his room, I came in, I was sitting down, then I saw him, and then he looked straight at me, and then he was, in his eyes, he was smiling and giving some affection. But only him and I knew. No one else in the room would have known that. It's like that. That's what spiritual life is like. Krishna just sidelong glances. Krishna just looks at the door out of the side of his eyes. He doesn't walk through the spiritual world all day saying, "Oh, you're such a good devotee," and stand there for 5 minutes and pray to you. He'll just give you a little more. And because the devotees are humble, that's all they need. Just a sidelong glance, they're completely satisfied. That's how the spiritual world operates. So these women in Indraprastha Krishna's looking at them. He just looks at them out of the side. That's enough. They're fully satisfied. So we should also become satisfied like that. We shouldn't be so eager for recognition all the time in devotional service. Any points? Observing Lord Mukunda's wives passing on the road like stars accompanying the moon, the women exclaimed, "What have these ladies done so that the best of men bestows upon their eyes the joy of his generous smiles and playful sidelong glances?" So it says in the verse, "What piety have they performed?" What piety do we have to perform to become an eternal associate of Krishna? What do we have to do?
Devotional service.
What sort of devotional service?
Pure devotional.
Pure devotional service. For how long?
Forever.
From now until you die. Prabhupada said to give one life, and then he said Lord Chaitanya will come and take you back to Krishna. Prabhupada will come back there. Your guru will come and take you back to Krishna. But you have to give one life from now until you die. If you give yourself your energy, then Krishna will take you back. In various places, citizens of the city came forward holding auspicious offerings for Lord Krishna. The sinless leaders of occupational guilds came forward to worship the Lord. So, all of these persons, they were free from
envy.
Yeah, it says here, free from sin. That's the qualification. If you want to meet Krishna, you have to be free from sin. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. Then you can meet Krishna. Now, that's why we have those vows in this country. Because if you're not following those, you can't meet Krishna. You have to follow those four regulations. And then you have to become a pure devotee. Prabhupada said that's just human life. That's just a human being. Now, most people are not even humans. But when you follow that, you're a human, then you can purify yourself and progress, and then you can meet Krishna. With wide open eyes, the members of the royal household came forward in a flurry to lovingly greet Lord Mukunda, and thus the Lord entered the royal palace. When Queen Prita saw her nephew Krishna, the master of the three worlds, her heart became filled with love. Rising from her couch with her daughter-in-law, she embraced the Lord. Queen Kunti's daughter-in-law is the famous Draupadi. King Yudhishthira respectfully brought Lord Govinda, the supreme god of gods, to his personal quarters. The king was so overcome with joy that he could not remember all the rituals of worship. Does it happen sometimes? A very great devotee comes and then you become forgetful. You ever done that? Serving, but then you become like forgetful. Or when the devotee comes and your mouth dries up and you can't speak properly. Does that ever happen?
Yes.
The advanced devotee is there and you start, he says, "How are you?" and you start going. And sometimes you say very stupid things. Ever happen? And in the mind you think, "Why did I say that?" Sometimes it happens. Yeah. Sometimes you do like that. So this is what is taking place. Yudhishthira, Krishna is there, now he doesn't even know what to do. Vidura did the same thing. Krishna came, started peeling the bananas, giving Krishna the banana peel. Krishna took the banana peel, he thought, okay, ate the banana peel. Thought, that's nice. My devotee gave it to me in love. And then when Vidura realized what he did, he said, oh, Krishna, what have I done? Sometimes we do like that. Even one time I was in Fiji with my Guru Maharaj, his Vyasa Puja, and then one of my god brothers, he was fanning with the peacock feather. And then, like, it was the end of the, they're having a kirtan, and my Guru Maharaj is sitting on the Vyasasan, and then everyone's having kirtan. Kirtan stopped. And then he started saying Premadwani prayers. Everyone, you know, went down to the ground, but I was sitting up for some reason. I was sitting up, so I was watching my Guru Maharaj. And my god brother's fanning him with the peacock feather, because Fiji is hot, so he's fanning him. And my Guru Maharaj, you know, while he's saying the Premadwani prayers, he's pointing at the glass of water because he wants to drink some water. So my guru, my god brother's fanning him and trying to give him the glass of water. He's kind of getting like, and my Guru Maharaj, you know, because he was very, you know, he started, you know, he's saying that Premadwani prayers, he's like looking at him like, what are you doing? I can't remember what he did. I think he's like, you know, he's saying the prayer, and he's going, oh, he's putting a jaya on Vishnu Pan, he's going like this. I was watching it, so it was very funny. But sometimes when we serve the great personalities, we become very, we do stupid things. Sometimes we do very silly things. Like that. So. Lord Krishna bowed down to his aunt and the wives of his elders, O king, and then Draupadi and the Lord's sisters bowed down to him. Draupadi's name is Krishna. Why is her name Krishna? Krishna's name is Krishna, and her name is Krishna. She's the same color as Krishna. Fupi Uddhava, same color as Krishna. Mother Yashoda, same color as Krishna. Arjuna, same color as Krishna. Draupadi, same color as Krishna. Like bluish black, that kind of color. Encouraged by her mother-in-law, Draupadi worshipped all of Lord Krishna's wives, including Rukmini, Sajabama, Bhadra, Jambavati, Kalindi, Mitravinda, the descendant of Shibi, the chaste Nagnajiti, and the other queens of the Lord who were present. Draupadi honored them all with such gifts of clothing, flower garlands, and jewelry. Because she is Niyamatsara. Niyamatsara means? Not always. She offers respect. Even if you're more qualified than someone, you should offer respect. She offered respect to the queens. I mean, they were Krishna's personal. I mean, she was Yudhishthira's wife. Yudhishthira was the emperor. He's kind of higher than Krishna in one sense. Krishna's coming to see him. He's about to do the Rajasuya sacrifice. Everyone's subordinating to him. But Draupadi offers respect to the queens because she doesn't have envy in her heart. King Yudhishthira arranged for Krishna's rest and saw to it that all who came along with him, namely his queens, soldiers, ministers, and secretaries, were comfortably situated. He arranged that they would experience a new feature of reception every day while staying as guests of the Pandavas. Desiring to please King Yudhishthira, the Lord resided at Indraprastha for several months. During his stay, he and Arjuna satisfied the fire god by offering him the Kandava forest, and they saved Mayadhanava, who then built King Yudhishthira a celestial assembly hall. The Lord also took the opportunity to go riding in his chariot in the company of Arjuna, surrounded by a retinue of soldiers. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out, this is not necessarily chronological. That the Bhagavatam, the last few chapters, they may not necessarily all be happening chronologically. That's why sometimes you read something and you think, oh, that's already happened before. Or, you know, it's not always exactly, because he's going forward and backwards, of course. Srila Prabhupada ki.